Ipse leads the way.
Ipse.
One system, personnel, and pay.
Ipse.
21st century.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining Team Ipse for our podcast, where we give you program status updates on the road to go live. I'm Colonel Rebecca Eggers, the Functional Management Division Chief, and today I'm joined by Lieutenant Colonel John Elko, who's our deployment lead, and Major Marisa McLean, who's our training lead. Welcome.
Good morning, ma'am.
Hello, ma'am.
So we have so many things going on, so many things. We just wrapped up the system acceptance test, and we're right in the middle of rehearsal of concept drill 4. The HR and Pay Summit teams have been traveling nonstop, and we're rolling along to our September go live. So right now we're preparing for the limited user test, or the LUT, which is the last stress test of Ipse, and will determine if the system is ready for deployment. But while we're doing this, units, leaders, and HR professionals have their own things they need to be doing in order to prepare for brownout, cutover, and go live. So John, just so everyone's tracking, what's brownout and cutover?
Sure thing, ma'am. This is a question we get a lot. So brownout and cutover are two distinct events. They run sequentially. One runs right into the next. End users are not going to have access to legacy systems during the entire event. So brownout starts with end users losing access to those legacy systems, and it runs about 7 days. The first 72 to 96 hours, that's just us letting the data settle. So those final transactions, we want to make sure that that data gets to every system that we're consuming data from. In the final 72 hours of that seven that I mentioned, that's when we receive data from legacy systems. That's how long it takes to package up more than a million records and ship it to us to start cutover. Now, cutover starts when we acquire that data, and that is everything that the program has to do with those files to make them ready for Ipse consumption.
That sounds like it'll be really demanding on our HR professionals out there. What do units and HR professionals need to be doing right now in order to prepare and ensure they're successful for cutover?
Roger, ma'am. So right off the bat, we are in the middle of rehearsal concept 4. We have fielded the ROC 4 version of the cutover guide. Now, that's where we've done all of our contingency planning for how end users and enterprise level organizations are going to sustain HR business during brownout and cutover. Big part of that is faces to spaces. So I know the field is tracking the hard work that Captains Donaldson and Moscoso have been doing, working with their force managers and strength managers out in the field to make sure that every soldier has a home between AOS and eMilpo. We know that that work is what's going to allow those S1s to see those records upon go live. We are literally spitting distance from the metrics we need for brownout and cutover already with months to spare. Their continued attention is going to help burn that down. The other thing that they could do, get their eyes in that book. There are a lot of prep activities laid out in the cutover guide, and there are post-go-live catch-up activities laid out in the cutover guide. We haven't tasked it down to the unit level. We know every installation's different. Every installation has different resources. We see it as a cutover team responsibility to determine who does what. But we've got some pretty specific guidance for the priority of work, and that's how we're going to get the system back to accountability as quickly as possible after go live. I know that's a lot, but that's a solid summary of what folks can be doing to prepare time now, man.
Thanks, John. I know the units surely have a lot of preparing to do, and so do our HR professionals. We talk about elevated roles, or sometimes we call them subcat roles, depending on, which form we're in. Major McLean, for the users that are having elevated roles, what are these roles and what are they going to be doing?
So in Ipse Release 3, HR professionals, leaders, and users who are going to be supporting HR operations are going to need these elevated roles that give them access beyond our self-service tools in order to complete their duties and responsibilities similarly to what they do today. So elevated roles are basically Ipse capabilities that control what a user can see and what that user can also do within the system. Ipse roles are bundled together to make what you call the subcategories. And some of those common subcategories that most of our users will need access to when we go live, to just name a few, are our HR professional, HR supervisor, commander or manager, HR data user, and then we do have some subcategories that are unique to non-HR professionals, like the pay data user, just to name a few. With these elevated roles, soldiers and leaders across our force will be able to use IPSAE in order to process, approve, and just even request actions or requests on behalf of the users within the system, again, as they do today.
How do HR professionals know if they need an elevated role or who assigns them that role? And how will they know how to do that job within IPSAE?
So any user who is going to be a part of any type of review, approval, or record update process for actions submitted will need some level of elevated access in order to perform those functions within IPSAE. And those roles are ultimately approved and managed by a subcategory that we call validators. So in IPSAE, there are several different categories or types of validators, and each type of validator is unique in which they have a set of subcategories that they're authorized to approve. So for example, the lowest level validator, which is exactly the way I just called it, validator, they can approve most of those foundational elevated roles within the system. As you move up to more specialty related subcats or more capabilities that are unique to a smaller or higher echelon type of user, then you have a validator admin. And then ultimately, it will continue to go up to the program level or right above the enterprise level. We have keep validator. And then ultimately, we have some subcats that will be controlled by IPSAE as the program. So we have this validator structure in place to ensure that users will have only the access that they need access to, but it's fluid enough to ensure that, you know, no one is restricted as we use the system and move forward. As an elevated user, you'll have lots of training opportunities in place to get familiar with the capabilities that you have with the new subcategories that you're being granted within the system. So the distance learning programs that we offer that are requirements in order to get the subcategories, though the suspense to complete that training has passed, but your trainers or your T3s in your local areas are going to be providing you with an instructor facilitated training course, which will give you hands-on opportunities to use IPSAE Release 3 in our training environments to get really familiar with those capabilities that are in the different subcat bundles that we offer. In addition to the IFT and the distance learning, IPSAE, we are producing and finalizing our IPSAE Release 3 user manual that has an abundance of background information about subcategories, the capabilities of each, and it guides you through the completion of various transactions and it lets you know which subcategories you need in order to complete those transactions. So another good aid to use as you get familiar with the roles that are in the system and what you can do with those elevated roles. And one of the last things I wanted to hit on as well is we do have a good section of content sensitive help. And that is a function in which IPSAE will look at what page you're on within the system and provide you with a list of recommended training tools or UPKs, user productivity kits that will guide you through specific transactions to help you, again, get through the action that you're trying to do, but also advise you on what subcategory you need in order to do that in case you don't already have it or you're just unfamiliar with the functionality as it relates to your new subcat as you're learning.
So those levels of access, those are going to be critical to get us through cutover and then to get the system back up and running immediately on go live. So we've got cutover tasks, we've got post go live tasks. During cutover team members have to have access to do those unit level tasks. So building out their S1 pools, their CRM provider groups. And then we're looking at applying flags during cutover as well, so we don't have erroneous promotions immediately on go live for any flags that should have been applied while our legacy systems are down. We've also got enterprise level tasks during cutover, is specifically restricting the records for any casualties that we take during brownout and cutover. We don't want to expose those records upon go live just because we had that brownout period. And then doing the prep work during cutover to make sure that board activity picks right back up on go live. And then immediately on go live, getting folks assigned against those S1 pools, backdating the assignments, because we know the Army is going to continue to move during brownout and cutover. We just need to make sure, take every step possible to get the system matching truth on the ground almost immediately after go live. And those levels of access are going to help drive that activity.
This goes back to last month's episode when we talked about the training and, you know, what's ahead and how the HR Pro training was just the foundation. I think there's a lot of users that don't realize that, you know, they saw the distance learning and they it was a lot of training. 40 hours is quite a bit and it's tedious. But the instructor facilitated training is, like you said, the hands-on portion. That's where we really start getting to know the system. And then really for the Army to be successful, units really have to complete all their pre-cutover tasks. And they don't get that done without HR professionals actually understanding what they need to do in the system and making sure they have that training done. So those subcat roles really, really, really become critical in making sure that everyone understands their specific role in IPSAE. And just as a reminder, the deadline for the subcat training is 31 July. The subcat training is tied to provisioning as well. So if you are listed as a subcat in one of those subcat roles, you have to complete that so that we can ensure that you're provisioned with that specific subcat. So that's why that deadline is out there. Additionally, even if you take a subcat role or a subcat training, unless you're listed on a training roster by your unit TRA as requiring that role, you will not be provisioned in that role. So that's becomes really important for units to understand, and users that are just taking extra training thinking they'll get elevated access that they may not be required to have. So make sure if you believe that you should have one of those subcat roles that you talk to your unit TRA and make sure you're on the training roster, because those people on those rosters are the only ones that will actually be provisioned for those roles with the assumption that they've completed the appropriate training. I can't stress enough, we've talked about this, there's all kinds of training out there, webinars, we've got train the trainer opportunities. Remember, you can jump on any of the T3 IFT courses. If you have different units that are holding them at your locations, make sure you jump on those, because instructor facilitated training requirement, the completion day is just a couple weeks away. And of course, check out our webpage, our social media for any updated information. And we really thank you for joining us. And until next time, IPSAE is your system.
Right soldier, right job, right on time.
24/7, 365.